Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
A new study has revealed a six-fold increase in the number of children with mental health issues presenting to the paediatric emergency department of Temple Street Hospital in Dublin over the decade from 2006 to 2016. 69 children with mental health issues presented to the hospital in 2006. 10 years later, in 2016, 432 children with mental health issues were seen. That's a 526% increase. I'm joined now in studio by Dr. Owen Fitzgerald, who's a paediatric specialist registrar, and by Dr. Kieran Moore, consultant paediatric psychiatrist at Our Lady's Hospital in Crumlin. You're both very welcome to studio. Owen, you conducted this research as a young doctor in Temple Street. You and your colleagues, you found, I think, you were treating more and more children coming in with mental health issues, but you had no actual data. So what did you do?
First of all, so thanks a lot for having me. So yes, I was working in Temple Street at the time, and the consultant I was working with at the time, Dr. Ike Okafor, had acknowledged the fact that there had anecdotally been a massive increase in the number of presentations and a huge amount of resources were needed for this, but we hadn't got the numbers to back it up. So I went back through the data over a 10-year period, as mentioned, and as you'd seen, there had been kind of evidence to back what we had felt, a 526% increase in the number of presentations, which was actually far greater than we had actually expected. So it was quite astounding.
It's a
really
massive increase. And these are children coming into your emergency department and coming in with mental health presentations. Talk me through what you mean by that. What were they coming in with?
So we actually, as part of the study, we did over a 1 year period, we actually looked at the breakdown of the subtypes of mental health presentations.
Okay.
So the most common we found was actually suicidal ideation, which accounted for approximately 35% of the presentations. The second most common was deliberate self-harm. And then there was a selection of other presentations, including depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and a number of other subtypes.
Did you narrow this into age groups and gender?
As part of our study, so we collected that information. We didn't analyse it as part of this study, but I know I worked very closely with Dr. Elizabeth Barrett, who's a psychiatrist working in Temple Street.
She was on the Today with Sean O'Rourke
she
programme
was indeed,
earlier
yes.
today.
She was. So she is doing further studies into that side of it, but we didn't look at it as part of this study.
Now, is it straightforward to get the type of information that you accessed and finally pulled together?
It was easy to get some of it. So they have an electronic system in the emergency department itself that I was able to draw some of the information from. However, you're reliant on the doctors or clinicians seeing those patients to categorise them appropriately, first of all. But secondly, certain conditions can actually fall into other headings. For example, overdoses can either in children often accidentally overdose, things like medication lying around that is in no way part of a psychiatric condition.
Washing up liquid.
Exactly, things like that.
Yeah.
So I actually had to trawl through those subtypes to determine which ones actually belonged.
Because do they all get put into the system as overdose?
In that system, they did.
And then you have to
I had to trawl. So there's a subcategory of accidental versus non-accidental. But I just had to be, I wanted to be very clear that the data I was presenting was as accurate as possible.
Okay.
So yes, I did trawl through that.
Could you look as well and see when they were presenting? By that I mean, were they presenting in the evenings? Were they presenting through the night? Or were they presenting during what we'll call office hours?
So we looked into that, and there was a very particular reason we looked at that. So I'm sure you've heard of CAMHS, or the Childhood and Adolescent Mental
Indeed.
Health Services. They provide services between Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So we wanted to see what proportion of children were presenting outside of those hours. So we looked specifically in a binary capacity whether they were presenting in those Monday to Friday 9 to 5 or outside of that. And interestingly, over half of the presentations, so approximately 52%, presented outside of those hours. And actually that subtype have been found to be a higher risk category as well. So it was actually a very interesting finding from our study. And one of the big things we wanted to come from the study was driving the importance of increasing the number of resources available for community-based mental health services. As mentioned, there's been a 5 to 6-fold increase in presentations to the department, but there certainly hasn't been a 5 to 6-fold increase in the number of resources available either in hospitals or in the community. So,
sitting beside you here, Dr. Kieran Moore, who's a consultant paediatric psychiatrist in Crumlin, I suppose the numbers won't surprise you. The presentations in Temple Street won't surprise you.
No.
Are you seeing something similar in your hospital?
Yeah, we are. And I just want to pay credit to Owen. It's a fantastic piece of work. A lot of the difficulties that the simply the fact the figures are not there and there's no IT system. So it's a great piece of work. Yes, it's the same problem throughout Ireland, actually, is that paediatric hospitals are getting a lot of presentations of psychiatry or mental health. And the difficulty is that the Mental Health Commission, which produces figures on, you know, statutorily every year, is not collecting these figures at all because they're not, they only deal with approved units. So the, even for instance, the number of inpatients, say to the four units in the country, it's only a drop in the ocean in terms of the actual presentations in that sense. And I suppose to me, there are two difficulties. One is, and I suppose I do want to pay credit that, you know, even the previous minister, particularly Mr. Jim Daly, has listened and done a lot of work and there has been money put in. But the money, unfortunately, that's there has gone arguably properly to the CAM services. But the reality is that the vast majority of out-of-hours presentations are, in fact, all of them are to A&E or GP. And I suppose the HSE actually puts on the, each CAMS clinic that you go to, if you ring up and ask what to do, it says go to your GP and A&E. And in fairness, GPs and A&E are already under huge stress and have, you know, they have their generic training, but they're not specialists in child and adolescent psychiatry.
But is Temple Street or Crumlin, your hospital, equipped to deal with these emergency arrivals late at night or late in the evening or at weekends of children with mental health needs?
They're not. I mean, I suppose to me, the bigger issue is that the inpatient units or the child psychiatry hospitals, of which there are four in the country, and I accept that they're not, they don't have enough beds, but they don't accept people based on clinical need. Any other hospital, if you appear and you have a particular need, you will be admitted, and that's what happens in the paediatric hospitals. So the children are admitted and looked after and actually get a lot of good input. But in terms of trying to access the inpatient units, it's crazily difficult. You have to fill up a form, which takes about an hour to fill up. And then the inpatient doctors themselves, by that I mean, by the way, it's a separate hospital specifically for children with psychiatric illnesses. They may read your recommendation and decide, see the child and then decide the child does not need to be admitted.
Just back up a minute. Okay. You, as a child psychiatrist, you have to fill in this very lengthy form to... putting down that you've assessed the child and the child is in need of inpatient care.
Yes. I have no problem passing information. That's absolutely correct. But I do have a problem in making a case that this child needs to be admitted. I don't. I have seen the child and needs to be admitted. So the bigger issue is really that even when a child comes into a paediatric hospital and is admitted there and is clearly in the wrong setting, both for the child but also for the other children who have other paediatric illnesses, it's very difficult to get access to the inpatient unit. And there's no clarity or there's no account. Well, you don't know exactly what the criteria are. You're told there are criteria or they don't fit the criteria, but ask what they are, you can't find out. And that's, I do accept that there are a small number of beds, but I don't think that's acceptable at the present moment.
The HSE told us today that there are currently 74 CAMS inpatient beds across inpatient units in Galway, Cork and Dublin. And they also said we'll have 20 new beds from 2021 in the new children's hospital, plans for another 10 in the new forensic hospital. But until then,
I welcome that. But I think what has to happen is that if we're de facto, the beds are actually in the paediatric hospitals. So we either name that and resource it in the present time or else we put in money much more quickly into the inpatient units. But the evidence is that a considerable number of children are being seen in paediatric hospitals. And the figure of half that happen after hours, the other half happen within hours. So one wonders why they aren't being seen by the local CAM service. And I do understand, having come from it, it's very difficult because it can be very overwrought. But you know, even in Wexford, we used to see people based on clinical need if it were that day. And I've had situations where consultants tell people to go to A&E. And if we're going to do that, fine. But let's define it and let's pay for it and let's do it properly in that sense.
I'm wondering as well, Owen, during your time in the ED in Temple Street, so you have an emergency with a child who comes in with a suicidal ideation or self-harming, but you have other emergencies as well.
Yeah.
perhaps a road traffic accident or a major emergency with a child's illness that's chronic and in need of immediate care. How do you decide who you treat or what you do?
It can be very challenging. Obviously, these children are very vulnerable, the children who come in with suicidal ideation or deliberate self-harm. And you have to give them, first of all, it has to be in the right environment, and the emergency department isn't
that. You have to give them time.
You have to give them time. So first of all, you're in a very loud, overcrowded environment. You have to give them time. And in the midst of someone telling you how vulnerable they're feeling, I have unfortunately had to rush off to an emergency and leave them. To tell them that I'll come back to them and apologise profusely that I've had to leave. But obviously that's not something that I want to do by any means. But you're left with no option when you're trying to perform two roles. A role as a kind of a makeshift psychiatrist, which in some hospitals, thankfully in Temple Street, there was liaison psychiatry cover, yeah. As is there in Crumlin.
But often, we have hospitals where they don't have that cover.
In fact, the vast majority don't. So of the 19 paediatric units around the country, three of them, I believe, have liaison psychiatry cover. So that's a fraction. And I believe the HSE in their Vision for Change document in 2004 highlighted that they were looking to provide support in 13 of the 19. So they're still at three. So just to call that number out, how important it is and how far we're falling behind. And now with this data to back up just how far, like how big an issue this is, we really do need to.
And again, Kieran, the HSE would tell us that a child can be assessed by a non-consultant hospital doctor who can then discuss the case with the CAMHS consultant on call if necessary. But we're back into availability, aren't we?
We are back into availability, and there's no clarity on any website that I can see as to where that actually exists and what the numbers are. And the difficulty again is that even if you're giving an opinion off-site, it's about where then if a child needs to be admitted, which you really do need to do. If you know, if you don't have a senior practitioner seeing, it's the same. If you have a surgical problem, you need to admit the patient until you've seen them. So they are admitted to the paediatric hospitals, but it means an admission overnight in some cases. And yes, every doctor has. Training right across the field, but really it's quite a specialist area. So we end up admitting, and that's absolutely fine, but it means that it's not fair to the child, as I said, and not fair to other patients. And I suppose the HSE, I can understand why the emergency departments are open 24 hours and they're used in that sense, but let's name it then and pay for it and maybe do it a different way, because we don't have enough beds.
Owen, was child psychiatry an area you considered?
I found it very interesting. It wasn't an area that I was planning to go down in terms of my longer term career. Yeah. But I would echo that we get a minimal amount of training in it. As is the case, we can't be experts in everything. So I'd hold my hands up and say, I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychiatrist.
But you need to be able to call on
it. We need to be able
expertise.
To call on it, but when it's available. And I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable. I've no choice but to admit children like this overnight. I wouldn't feel comfortable letting someone home without them being seen by a psychiatrist. So just to echo that, we do end up keeping children overnight in the emergency department, which is definitely not the right environment for them. It can be chaotic at times. So
they're
a very vulnerable cohort.
Can I just very quickly pay credit actually to the staff in paediatric hospitals? The care they give to children in both in A&E and up in the wards is just second to none. And I'm not saying it's across the board, but it's amazing considering, you know, the difficulties that paediatric hospitals have had with corona, you know, with viruses, etc. over the winter. And even when beds were full, they still took in children. And that's real care. And so I just want to pay tribute to that.
All right. Dr. Kieran Moore, Dr. Owen Fitzgerald, thank you both very much indeed for coming into us.